Fallen for a clickbait link? You're not the only one. That's why Cox Panoramic Wi-Fi includes advanced security to help protect your connected devices online from malware, threats, and even scams disguised as cute dog videos. And the second anything's blocked, you'll get an alert to keep you in the know. So when a flashing ad says you've won millions, you don't lose a cent. Get advanced security included with Cox Panoramic Wi-Fi. Click to learn more. Advanced security must be enabled in the Panoramic Wi-Fi app. Restrictions apply.
Conéctate en confianza. La seguridad avanzada incluida con Panoramic Wi-Fi de Cox ayuda a proteger tus equipos conectados desde ataques cibernéticos hasta conexiones desconocidas disfrazadas de cachorritos lindos. Ya bloqueado, te llega una alerta. Para cuando sale un anuncio online diciendo que ganaste el millón, no pierdas ni un centavo. Haz clic para conocer más. La seguridad avanzada tiene que estar activada en la app de Panoramic Wi-Fi. Aplican restricciones.
Hello, everybody. I'm Ed Robinson, and welcome to another exciting edition of The Robinson Show. On the program, I have him back on Andrew Pasquini. Andrew is the co-host of the Spread Bright Option podcast. The podcast is dedicated to highlighting San Francisco 49ers content. He is also a writer for the website Niners Nation. The website is ran by SB Nation as it provides 49ers news. On the program, we discuss the 49ers game against the Seahawks, plus Trey Lance, Jimmy Garoppolo, San Francisco's next game against the Denver Broncos, and more. Andrew is coming up after the break. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Robinson Show.
Your home says a lot about you. Give it Bear Dynasty interior paint. It's our most stain-repellent, scuff-resistant interior paint ever. Today, let's paint with Behr, America's most trusted paint brand. Ranked most trusted paint brand based on the 2022 Life Story Research Study.
Hi, welcome to your neighborhood pharmacy.
Hi, I've got a prescription for diabetes test strips. How much is the copay?
Well, it depends on your type of commercial insurance and factoring in your yearly spend, subtracting the deductibles, also depending on your monthly allowance.
Why can't there be a better option?
Or you could try Contour Next Test Strips. A 35 count's only $19.99 over the counter and proven to be highly accurate. Go to contournext.com/radio to see if over the counter strips are a more affordable option for you.
I think I'll try Contour Next.
Football is back, and BetMGM is inviting new customers to join the huddle and enjoy the action like never before. Sign up today using bonus code EASY1000, and your first wager is risk-free up to $1,000.
Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Louisiana only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. In partnership with Sam's Town Shreveport Casino.
At the United States Postal Service, we deliver fast and affordably for small biz, big box, large scale, wholesale, retail, B2B, B2C, ASAP. USPS, delivering for America. Learn more at usps.com/delivering.
Street King's got you covered with their huge tire sale blowout with 6 months same as cash on all tires. Brands you love like Nexen, Lexani, Predator, all in stock and ready. Get a set of four installed today for as little as $20 down and $20 per week. And you never need credit. Mention this ad and get 6 months same as cash. Rule the road for less at Street King. Located in Baton Rouge at 7221 Airline Highway, just north of Greenwell Springs Road. Google Street King or visit GoStreetKing.com.
It's another hurricane season, and right about now, residents are busy fortifying their nests against damage. This year, they're preparing with flood insurance. They've learned it's the extra layer of protection that prevents them from paying out of pocket or pouch for costly repairs. You too should trust your instincts this season. Get flood insurance and protect the life you've built. Visit floodsmart.gov. It's hurricane season. Flood insurance can help you avoid paying out of pocket for costly damage. It's time to trust your instincts. Get flood insurance and protect the life you've built. Visit floodsmart.gov. It's another hurricane season, and right about now, residents are busy fortifying their nests against damage. This year, they're preparing with flood insurance. They've learned it's the extra layer of protection that prevents them from paying out of pocket or pouch for costly repairs. You too should trust your instincts this season. Get flood insurance and protect the life you've built. Visit floodsmart.gov.
They're going to go with Trey Lance on this play as he kept it and absorbed quite the hit. Cody Barton and Brian Monet both teamed up to put it on Trey Lance. And Lance is down right now. That was quite the hit. But on that power run, Lance is down, and Jimmy Garoppolo may see early action today in the first quarter. Trey Lance is going to have to exit on the cart. And he's got the air cast on that right leg. He's being carted off the field. Off the play fake. Garoppolo, he's got a tight end. It is Ross Dwelly. And Ross Dwelly lunging in for the touchdown. Quarterback sneak. Jimmy Garoppolo puts it away for San Francisco. Off the bench, in for Lance, who got hurt in the first quarter, and Jimmy Garoppolo.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. That audio was courtesy of the NFL on Fox and the National Football League. And, of course, you heard at the beginning, San Francisco 49ers quarterback Trey Lance suffering a devastating ankle injury in the first quarter of the game against the Seattle Seahawks. We know the story about him, done for the year, had surgery, and he'll be ready for the 2023 season. But Jimmy Garoppolo came in and threw a touchdown pass and scored a rushing touchdown in the win over the Seattle Seahawks from week two. To talk more about Trey and Jimmy G, as well as the game against the Seahawks and the Niners next game against the Denver Broncos, we got to welcome him back to the program. Always insightful when it comes to the 49ers. He's the co-host of the Sprint Right Option podcast. It's the podcast dedicated to covering the San Francisco 49ers. Let's welcome him back to the program, Andrew Pasquini. Hey, Andrew, what's going on, my man?
Hey, how you doing, Ed? It's been a while. Everything's been good, though. We're having a good time. How you been?
Oh, man, I'm doing well, sir. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. So let's get right to it. We're going to get more into the Jimmy G and the Trey Lance situation at the moment, but just give me your takeaways from the Niners' victory over the division rival Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah, it's unfortunate with the Trey Lance and the Jimmy Garoppolo situation that's kind of that's been the big story out of the Niners' win over the Seahawks, when really the conversation should be about the defense. The 49ers' defense absolutely stifled the Seahawks' offense. Seattle only had 216 total yards. They had two turnovers, a nice interception by Tashaun Gibson off of a Talanoa Hufanga pass breakup. Niners intercepted Smith once. And then Seattle ran the very interesting Dallas pass play where they had four running backs in the backfield. He threw it directly to Mooney Ward for the second interception. The Niners defense was so stifling. Of the 47 plays Seattle ran, by my count, only eight were in 49er territory. Seattle did nothing offensively, and the defense essentially pitched a shutout. I know the score is 27-7, but Seattle's lone touchdown was on a blocked field goal return for a touchdown in the third quarter. So the defense didn't allow Seattle's offense to really get anything going. Not that Seattle's offense was much of a threat, because even after their week one victory against the Denver Broncos, their offense didn't score a single point in the second half. They started hot and were able to hold on against Denver. Seattle didn't get that hot start against the 49ers, and they really didn't get anything going. The other important thing for the Niners as well is they only committed one penalty, which was a pass interference for 26 yards. A large reason why they lost to the Chicago Bears in week one is because they committed 12 penalties, which was more than any game in 2021. So the Niners' defense really showed up, and that was a large part why they won. But the not committing 12 penalties was a huge thing for the Niners as well.
Yeah, you're right about the Niners' defense, and I know we're going to get into the whole quarterback situation with the Niners. But, man, the 49ers defense handled their business with Nick Bosa and company. We'll talk more about that a little bit later, but I want to get into Trey Lance. What an offseason it was for the 49ers. They had the whole Deebo Samuel situation. They were able to get the contract extension for him, and then they gave the keys to Trey to become the starting quarterback. Jimmy G got his contract restructured, and now he's currently on a one-year deal. Well, week two against Seattle, Trey injury, done for the year, had surgery. So now, what were your thoughts before the injury had happened? What were your thoughts when you heard that Trey was going to become the starting quarterback for the Niners?
It really put the 49ers in a unique situation because they have a Super Bowl roster. They have a team that can go deep into the postseason. They've shown it with Jimmy Garoppolo, but they made the decision to almost go, I'm not going to call it a rebuild, but the choice to go to Trey Lance in 2022, it's one that made sense because they traded three first-round picks to get Trey Lance. At some point, the Niners needed to take advantage of his rookie contract in the 4 years. So the move was almost a move for the future for Trey Lance to start this year. So it made the Niners a team that were rebuilding while also having a Super Bowl roster. And it made sense because Jimmy Garoppolo, for as much as he wins, people like to talk about how he's a winning quarterback. He did limit the offense a bit because he does struggle throwing the ball deep. He has these struggles. He's very limited in what he can do. Trey Lance felt like he could open up the Kyle Shanahan offense a little bit with his big arm, with his legs, things like that. So it really puts the Niners in a weird situation where you felt like they could be a playoff contender, but they were almost stunting their full talent in order to get Trey Lance reps for the future. So it put them in a weird situation. It was a move I was behind because the ceiling was obviously there with Jimmy Garoppolo. They were good enough to get to the big games in February, but not quite enough to win them. Trey Lance is very much an unknown. The Niners were going to use 2022 in order to find out what he actually was and try and develop him from there. Obviously, that's not going to happen from there. So does this make the Niners better in 2022? It might not. I don't know. But the big thing the Trey Lance injury hurts is the future of the San Francisco 49ers because 2022, they were going to be okay going through the rough patches that having a 22-year-old quarterback was going to have, and then go from there in 2023. Now the whole process is delayed by another year, and now the 49ers have missed two seasons of Trey Lance's 4 years of his contract that you get when you're a rookie. So it puts the Niners in a bind in the future. What it means for 2022, I do not know yet.
Well, let's stay now with the current 2022 season. So we know Trey is going to be for next season, but they have a familiar face back at the quarterback position in Jimmy Garoppolo. So we mentioned about Jimmy G taking the Niners to a Super Bowl, NFC Championship games. You mentioned, of course, Jimmy G is a liability in terms of not really opening up the offense for the Niners. I mean, he's effective when he needs to be, but he doesn't have that deep ball. But he is familiar to that offense. So, Andrew, where do the Niners stand now? Because they know Jimmy G. As far as offensively is concerned, what do you think is going to happen now? Do you think that Kyle Shanahan and the offensive squad, they're going to change some things around in the playbook to cater to Jimmy G?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And there's huge conversation on 49ers Twitter and 49ers fans on the usage of Trey Lance. They think the way Kyle Shanahan was using Trey Lance, led to the injury. They thought he was running too much up the middle. And you saw almost instantly during the game, the 49ers, the game plan almost, it was very obvious it changed. Because in the six or seven plays before Trey Lance got injured, the 49ers went run, 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 run. So that's six consecutive runs, the sixth consecutive run being Trey Lance's injury. Jimmy Garoppolo comes in on a 3rd and 6. His first play is a pass play. Obviously, it's a 3rd and 6, so you're going to throw the ball. But the Niners, on their next drive, they come out. They open with 4 of the next 5 plays being passes after utilizing Trey Lance's legs more than his arm. So obviously the run aspect of the quarterback position is gone now with what Jimmy Garoppolo is. It's going to go back to more of what the offense was, safe, quick plays that allow Jimmy Garoppolo one or two reads, so he's not going to stretch the field. What was interesting, though, is we did see Jimmy Garoppolo take a couple of shots. He had two passes deeper than 20 yards. He had four passes that were in between 10 to 20. He usually sits in that 10 to 20 area, but the two passes for 20-plus, he had another deep shot as well that actually resulted in a Brandon Ayuk pass interference. So Jimmy Garoppolo was definitely pushing the field a little bit. It almost felt as if Kyle Shanahan didn't have a game plan installed for Jimmy Garoppolo because he was expecting to use Trey Lance. But I wouldn't be surprised to see if the Niners go back to the offense where it's Jimmy Garoppolo running the ball more often than not with Jeff Wilson. Tyrion Davis-Price, obviously he's hurt, so he's not going to run. It's going to be Jordan Mason and Marlon Mack now. And just short, quick passes, a lot of Deebo Samuel screenplays, things like that. So that's the biggest change. And the change is it's just going to go back to normal what the Niners have run the past 2 or 3 years with Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah, it's definitely talk about a change of pace when you've gone full speed ahead with Trey Lance and he had the injury. But Jimmy Garoppolo is experienced and he knows the offense and he knows the players and the squad that he has, as you mentioned, with Deebo Samuel and also with Jeff Wilson in the mix as well. Of course, you can't forget about at the fullback position with Kyle Juszczyk. So now with Trey done for the year, Jimmy G came in and had a rushing touchdown and also a touchdown pass. So Jimmy Garoppolo handled his business in the filling in for Trey Lance and taking over for the rest of the year. You mentioned about the running game, Andrew. Jeff Wilson, I'm looking at the stats here, 18 carries for 84 yards. I mean, that's what San Francisco's done best for a while, just do their thing in the running department. Just give me your thoughts on Jeff and how he played.
Yeah, Jeff Wilson was consistent, and that's about what you can expect for him. He's mainly been a rotational player for the 49ers, which has been interesting because he has been consistent when he starts. I believe Sunday was only his 10th start with the 49ers in his 5 years with the team. In the 9 starts before Sundays, he's averaged about 17 carries for 81 yards. So what did you get out of Jeff Wilson on Sunday? 18 carries for 84 yards. So it's about what you expect from him as a starter. He's consistent. He runs physical. He feels like the maybe a little more speed, but he feels like the prototypical Kyle Shanahan running back. You wish he was a little better in pass protection. He's fine as it is. Jeff Wilson is solid. He's consistent. He's going to get you 4 yards per carry, as can any running back, really, in a Kyle Shanahan offense. He has good ball security, so he's about what you expect from a Kyle Shanahan running back. Deebo Samuel is still going to be involved in carries as well. The running game is going to be pretty open, and it might be Jeff Wilson's backfield from here on because now Tyrion Davis-Price is dealing with a high ankle sprain. He's out at least a month. You have Elijah Mitchell. He's out 2 months. Jeff Wilson might be the running back one for the Niners, and that puts Kyle Shanahan in a unique situation because he usually has 3 or 4 running backs he could use. Even if you look at Sunday, Wilson had 18 carries. Davis-Price had 14 carries, pretty evenly distributed. Now the running back room is Jeff Wilson, rookie Jordan Mason, who hasn't gotten a carry this season. He was impressive in the preseason, but has not gotten a carry in the regular season. And Marlon Mack, who was a Houston Texan just 2 weeks ago, he was signed to the Niners practice squad, and now he's been signed to the active roster. So this might be the Jeff Wilson show, and if he can give you 4.5, 5 yards a carry, it's going to work. He's not going to be an explosive runner. Expect more of that from Deebo Samuel. But Jeff Wilson, if you consider that 4, 4.5, 5 yards a carry, he's going to get the job done.
All right, I want to move along now to the receiving side of the ball. Brandon Ayuk, I know since I've been having you on the program, Andrew, you talked about how Brandon is slowly developing into a quality receiver for San Francisco. Brandon, in his game against Seattle, he had 5 catches for 63 yards. Give me your thoughts on Brandon and his play in the game.
Yeah, Brandon Ayuk, he's a receiver that probably should be talked about a little bit more in the NFL. He's fallen behind Deebo Samuel for obvious reasons. Deebo Samuel is a bit more explosive. But when you look at pure receiving ability, I still believe Brandon Ayuk is the best receiver on the 49ers. He got a deep target on Sunday. He actually got two deep targets. As I said, one was called back on a pass interference, or it wasn't called back. The Niners were awarded the yards on a pass interference, so it didn't count as a target. He did have a drop on what was Jimmy Garoppolo's best throw of the game. It was a back shoulder throw, 10 to 15, or maybe even 20 yards downfield. Ayuk couldn't quite bring it in, but other than that, he was Garoppolo's most trusted receiver. He was 5 for 5, or excuse me, Garoppolo's 4 for 4 in passes underneath 10 yards. Ayuk was able to gain 49 yards on those short passes. So the key is with Ayuk is to give him the space to run. You could have him stretch the field every so often. He has that ability. But anywhere from that 5 to 15 yards downfield area, that's where you want to hit Ayuk because he's dangerous in that free space. Garoppolo obviously trusted in that. He was, as I said, 4 for 4 in short passes with Ayuk. I think the injury to Trey Lance benefits Ayuk in the passing game as well because I think with what Lance is going to try and do is stretch the field a little bit more. And as I said, Ayuk kind of he kills in those short passing situations. So I'm interested to see if he's targeted more or less with Garoppolo now than he was with Lance in the previous games. I'm excited to see where Ayuk goes. He's shown improvement, especially after last season when he barely got snaps the first part of the season. Now he's the Niners' second most trusted receiver in a receiving core that has some issues. It's very top-heavy with Jennings, Ayuk, and Samuel. Brandon Ayuk, I still believe he has that potential to become the 49ers' first receiver, or wide receiver one.
Yeah, definitely Brandon Ayuk definitely has the potential to make that happen. And speaking of potential, Deebo Samuel, one of the rising stars in the NFL and one of the top receivers in the league. Deebo Samuel, what an interesting offseason that he had. He had a lot of football fans such as myself and a lot of 49ers fans in a limbo saying that he was had a trade request. He wasn't going to show up to camp. He wanted the new contract, especially with the Davante Adams and Tyreek Hill situations, both of them setting off the market value for wide receivers. But Deebo got his contract extension, and it's all good in the Bay. And Deebo had 4 carries for 53 yards, and he had 5 catches for 44 yards in this game. Just give me your thoughts on Deebo and his play against the Seahawks.
Well, his 4 carries for 53 yards is a little bit of a lie because one of those carries went for 51 yards. So he really had 3 carries for 2 yards with one being 51 yards. But that 51-yard run just shows you how good Deebo Samuel is just as a ball carrier. He was stopped in the backfield. He had to cut back. There's a point where there's 3 Seahawks in front of him near the line of scrimmage, and he somehow found the space to get downfield for 51 yards. He's easily the Niners' most explosive player on offense, and I'm curious to see how he's going to be used with Jimmy Garoppolo now because I was surprised he was used as much of a runner as he was in Week 1. Against the Bears because the whole rumor over the offseason, you mentioned the contract negotiation, was he wasn't happy with his role in the offense in terms of how he was used as a running back. He wanted to be paid like a receiver because he saw the contracts that, as you said, Tyreek Hill and Davante Adams got. The Niners put a lot of escalators in their full rushing totals, and I thought those escalators were going to be a limit almost for how the Niners would use him. That hasn't been the case. They've used him as a running back as much as they did last year already through the first 2 weeks. Week 1 as a receiver, Deebo Samuel is a bit concerning. He was targeted 7 times, only 2 receptions, but he had 2 drops as well. So that was a little concerning. He looked better on Sunday, 5 receptions for 44 yards on 6 targets. I don't think he had a drop off the top of my head. So he looked better there. But what he does for the 49ers offense, to me, the fact that he wasn't as much in consideration for Offensive Player of the Year as he was for what he did for the 49ers offense, not just as a receiver but as a running back, it's amazing to me that he didn't get as much consideration. This year it looks like he's back. 13.3 yards per carry is insane for a running back, but he's a receiver, and that's something I think people lose a little bit with how often we've seen him running the ball. he's going to be important to the Niners' offense this year. It's been apparent the first 2 weeks, and that was obvious entering the season. But now with the injuries to the running back, he's going to have to be leaned on as a running back once again. So we'll see what year two of offensive weapon Deebo Samuel looks like. It's been promising in the run game. Week one was a little rough in the receiving game, looked better in week two. So we'll see where it goes from here. But Deebo Samuel, there's the thing with the NBA when there's a lead pass alert, when you're watching an NBA game and Giannis is playing, something like that. Deebo Samuel is a red zone alert. If the Niners are on and you have a chance to watch them on red zone, any second you get a chance to watch Deebo Samuel is must-watch TV because you don't know how he's going to be used. But it's going to be electric. He is such an electrifying player for the 49ers offense. I'm excited to see what year two of, as they say, wide back Deebo Samuel looks like.
I want to stay with Deebo for a moment. That offseason was very intense for a lot of 49ers fans. Confident, or were you cautiously optimistic that Deebo would stay with the 49ers?
I was concerned up until the Jets made the 10th pick in the draft. Because the big rumor was the Jets were the team to watch for Deebo Samuel. And it made sense. The Jets had the 4th and the 10th pick in the 2022 NFL draft. It was a team that would make sense. The only way the Niners were to trade Deebo Samuel is if they were to be blown away by a trade. And that's what it would have taken, is the 10th pick or the 4th pick, or best case, maybe both picks to get Deebo Samuel. The Jets never came really close. The biggest rumor may have been they might have offered the 10th pick, but it was included to have a swap pick for the 49ers' second-round pick. The Niners valued that second-round pick, and I don't think they wanted to lose any picks that involved a Deebo Samuel trade. So if it was the 4th or the 10th pick for Deebo Samuel in some capacity where the Niners didn't lose the pick, I could have seen the Niners make the move because they would have had to have been blown away, and getting a top 10 pick is a blow-away offer. The second the Jets made their selection at 10, I was very confident the 49ers would get something done. It's not like the Niners to not get something done. The one case that it didn't get done was when they traded DeForest Buckner to the Colts, but that was another situation where, outside of Aaron Donald, can you think of a defensive tackle in the NFL that would fetch a top 10 pick? Or excuse me, a first-round pick? I don't think so. The Niners got the 12th pick for DeForest Buckner. That's why that contract never came to fruition. But you look at guys like Fred Warner, and especially George Kittle. George Kittle, when he signed his extension, that was closer to camp, just like the Deebo Samuel contract was signed. After the Jets made their 10th pick, I was never concerned Deebo Samuel was going to leave. It was a matter of when, not if. And the Niners got the job done, and Deebo Samuel's here for at least the next 4 years, and that's a good thing for the 49ers.
It's a great thing, not just for the 49ers, but football fans. Like you said, man, Deebo is so fun and so exciting to watch. Whether he's lining up at wide receiver or at running back, it's just never a dull moment with him. I want to move along now to the defensive side of the ball. And you mentioned about Talanoa Hufanga, who had 5 tackles in his game against Seattle. Just give me your thoughts on his play.
Yeah, Talanoa Hufanga, I was concerned about him entering the regular season this year. The 49ers had a very well-established safety duo with Jimmy Ward and Jaquaski Tartt. Jimmy Ward and Jaquaski Tartt were the last two 49ers to play under Jim Harbaugh, who was let go by the Niners, a mutual agreement to leave the 49ers in 2014. So they've been around for a while. The Niners let Jaquaski Tartt go in favor of the 5th-round pick in 2021. And I never doubted Talanoa Hufanga's ability in the box. He's very good in the run game near the line of scrimmage. The concern was his coverage. He wasn't great in terms of coverage in 2021. And if you remember, the 49ers lost the game in 2021 to the Arizona Cardinals when both James Conner and Kyler Murray were out, and Colt McCoy was the starting quarterback. It felt like a free win for the 49ers. But with both Jimmy Ward and Jaquaski Tartt out, the Cardinals won that game, and Talanoa Hufanga was not great in that game. In 2022, not only has Hufanga been great around the line, I think he already has 4 tackles for loss in 2022 and 14 tackles. He's been really good in the passing game. In coverage in 2 games so far on 6 targets, he's allowing a passer rating against of 2.8. He has been amazing in coverage. He led to Deshaun Gibson interception in week 2. He actually got both hands. It should have been a Hufanga interception, but he tipped it instead of caught it. And then in week 1, he intercepted Justin Fields. Through 2 games, he's been phenomenal. This is what the Niners have needed out of the safety position. Tart in coverage, he was great at the line. Where Jaquaski Tart struggled was forcing the turnovers, and there's a whole conversation to be had about how the Niners scheme their safeties and not really prioritizing the turnovers, but more good defense. Talanoa Hufanga definitely has that ball hawk in him. He's been around the ball twice, 2 pass breakups in week 2, an interception in week 1. Let's hope the trend continues. I still have some questions in coverage, but through 2 weeks, he's been phenomenal, so I can't really question it too much. We'll see how it looks against Denver and see how it looks like against the Broncos in the Rams in 2 weeks. 2 very good passing teams. So we'll see what he looks like then. Through 2 weeks, he's been phenomenal.
All right, and speaking of being phenomenal, Dre Greenlaw. Dre was with 6. He was all over the place making plays. Your thoughts on Dre and his play against Seattle?
Yeah, he was really good in week 2. He definitely looked very energized, and it came out after the game. He signed a 2-year extension with the San Francisco 49ers. He signed it before the game. That probably was why he looked a little more fired up. He knew he was locked in. He struggled in week 1. He was called for a couple bad penalties. The face mask on a run play that gave Chicago another first down that led to the St. Brown touchdown. He was called for a late hit against Justin Fields that gave Chicago a first down. He cleaned it up in week 2. He was less aggressive, and that sounds negative, but he's a very aggressive player. It leads to a lot of missed tackles. It leads to penalties like we saw in week 2. He kind of calmed down last week. He only missed 1 tackle after missing 1 last week, but he only made 5 tackles last week compared to 7 this week, so he was a little bit better. More opportunities. He was all over the place. He was also really good in coverage. He was targeted 7 times. He allowed 7 receptions. Not great, but only 36 yards. So not great in terms of the percentage, but to only allow 5 yards per reception, he's allowing those short passes that the Seahawks were aiming for. Geno Smith wasn't going to beat the Niners, so the key was going to be keeping those short passes short and not allowing too many yards after those catches, and that's what Dre Greenlaw did. So he's here for at least another 2 seasons, a well-deserved extension. The Niners bypass his 5th-year option with it, not the 5th-year option. They extend him off of the 4-year rookie contract, and he performed well. So let's see how it continues, because there was definitely questions entering the season with him going up against Azeez Al-Shaair as the 2nd linebacker. It looks like he's won that battle because he's gotten majority of the snaps compared to Al-Shaair. He definitely looked better in week 2 compared to week 1.
All right, and speaking of someone that's always amped up and fired up, I mean, this guy has just been everything and then some for the 49ers defense. Nick Bosa had 4 tackles and 2 sacks in this game against the Seahawks. I mean, Nick Bosa has been worth every penny since the 49ers drafted him a few years ago. Give me your thoughts on Nick and his play against Seattle.
Yeah, so a big conversation with the 49ers so far this season was their rebuilt offensive line, right? It was a highlighted thing, all that fun stuff. Seattle also rebuilt their offensive line. They have 2 rookies at tackle. Abrams started the game on right tackle for Seattle. Nick Bosa ate him alive. Bosa had 7 pressures, 2 sacks, 3 hits, 2 hurries. Really, the entire 49ers offensive line dominated. They combined for 18 pressures, the 2 Bosa sacks, 6 hits, and 9 hurries. Nick Bosa is easily the best player on this 49ers defense. He had a sack against the Bears in the previous week. He's already on pace. I know it's through 2 weeks, Ed, so let's not overreact. We're going to have fun. He's on pace to beat Michael Strahan's sack record already this early on. But we won't get too far ahead of ourselves. He's consistently been their best pass rusher. He he's anytime there's a sack, Nick Bosa seems to be there. Whether or not he's credited with it, because he does get in the backfield so often, but more often than not, plays get opened up because of Bosa. Offensive linemen have to adjust for him, and that opens up situations for players like Samson Ebukam, rookie Drake Jackson, things like that. But every so often, there's going to be a game where Nick Bosa gets his numbers, and Sunday marks that. As I said, 7 pressures, 2 sacks. He was in the backfield all game. The Niners need him healthy. He's been healthy outside of 2020 when he tore his ACL. The Niners will go as far as Nick Bosa takes them. And in terms of the conversation, we talk about Jimmy Garoppolo and his wins, and this is going to be a stretch comparing a quarterback to a defensive end. Bear with me here, Ed. We'll get there. We talk about Jimmy Garoppolo's ability to win games and all that stuff. Nick Bosa is what that actually is on the defense. The Niners' defense has a completely different edge when he's out there versus when he's not. He needs to be at some point in the conversation for Defensive Player of the Year. I don't remember off the top of my head his finishes the previous years, but at some point Nick Bosa is going to win a Defensive Player of the Year. It might take Aaron Donald retiring at some point to really get there, because Aaron Donald, as long as he exists, he's the best player in the NFL. He's the best defensive player in the NFL. But at some point, Nick Bosa really needs to be put in consideration for a Defensive Player of the Year, because he's just that good.
Oh, yeah, Nick Bosa is more than good. He's been everything and then some for that Niner defense. And you mentioned about him winning a Defensive Player of the Year award in the future. Of course, Aaron Donald's still in his prime, and you can't forget about T.J. Watt from the Pittsburgh Steelers as well. Those guys are definitely solid, quality defenders. All right, let's move along now to the Niners. They've got a big one on a Sunday Night Football against the Denver Broncos. Denver had their troubles in week one against the Seattle Seahawks. Russell Wilson returned to the place where he played for 10 seasons. It fell short in that game due to some unforeseen circumstances, clock management and whatnot. And then a week two victory over the Houston Texans wasn't but it was enough to get them over the hump and get that victory. Let's start off with the Broncos offense for a moment. The Niners, very familiar with Russell Wilson, had to go up against them for a while in that division. What do you think are going to be the keys for the 49ers to take down Russell Wilson and that Bronco offense?
What a horrible joke the NFL played on the NFL, first of all. They scheduled the Niners for their first game in the post-Russell Wilson era, week two against the Seattle Seahawks. First time in 10 years, the 49ers are playing the Seahawks without Russell Wilson, the quarterback who has hurt them many of times. The 49ers get through that first game, and then the NFL says, oh, but by the way, in week three, you remember that Russell Wilson guy? You're going to have to play him after not having to play him. So the Niners are lined up against the quarterback who hurt them for 10 years. In order to beat the Denver Broncos, they're going to have to contain Russell Wilson. And that feels like an interesting thing to say right now, because Russell Wilson has not been good these first 2 weeks, completing only 58% of his passes, 559 yards through 2 weeks, 2 touchdowns to 1 interception. There's a weird disconnect as well between Russell Wilson and Nathaniel Hackett. Hackett's been really not aggressive with him. They've had a bunch of fourth and short, fourth and five situations in opponent territory where they've opted to go with field goals. So there's this very weird feeling between Hackett and Russell Wilson. Obviously, the Niners are very familiar with Wilson in terms of a Seahawks situation. They don't know what he looks like in terms of a Broncos quarterback, so we'll see what that looks like. What the 49ers are really going to have to watch, though, is the two-headed running back, Javonte Williams and Melvin Gordon. The two have combined for 44 carries for a little bit over 120 yards this season. They both had a goal line fumble, which was interesting against Seattle. They both had goal line fumbles that easily could – the Broncos could be 2-0 if it weren't for those two fumbles. Those are the two most concerning players on the Broncos offense. I mean, I know they have great receivers in Cortland Sutton, and I know Jerry Jeudy's injury. We don't know where he is in terms of playing on Sunday. The 49ers secondary has been really, really good so far through two games with Mooney Ward, Emmanuel Mosley. We mentioned Talanoa Hufanga, Samuel Womack as well. I'm not as much concerned as the Denver passing game as I am the rushing game. So we'll see what that looks like. But I'm just going to go with the big thing to watch is what Russell Wilson does against the Niners, because I've been saying it for 10 years now, every year, twice a year. So just out of habit, let's see how the Niners deal with Russell Wilson.
All right, let's move along now to the other side of the ball now with the 49ers offense and going trying to get points against the Bronco defense. What do you think are going to be the keys to victory for 49ers offense to get points against Denver's defense?
As it's going to be for this first stretch of the season is really what the 49ers offensive line looks like. They were really impressive against Seattle. They really gave the 49ers quarterbacks time to throw the ball. The Niners were getting good pushes on the running game. The 49ers offensive line features three new starters, Aaron Banks in his second year, Jake Brendel, who's been a journeyman center, and Spencer Burford, a rookie right guard. Aaron Banks has had a lot of questions around him. He was actually supposed to be the 49ers starting right guard last season. After he was drafted, the thoughts were the Niners were going to use him to start. He didn't really play in 2021. He had an okay week one, hits and misses here and there. He was really solid in week two against Seattle. So hopefully you see that progression from Aaron Banks. You also have Trent Williams, Mike McGlinchey. McGlinchey coming off the calf injury last year. The pass rush is going to be tough against the Broncos. Randy Gregory, Bradley Chubb, Draymond Jones, they all have at least one sack this season through 2 weeks. So we're going to see what McGlinchey looks like. You know you can trust Trent Williams. He's obviously the best offensive lineman in the league. We'll see what Mike McGlinchey looks like. So we'll see how the Niners offensive line deals with that. And I was excited not to have to talk about it, but here we are talking about Jimmy Garoppolo and his ability to not to turn the ball over. The Niners offense will go as far as Jimmy Garoppolo takes him. If he makes a couple, as I like to call them, I think I used the term last year, I don't remember, oh no, no throws, where he doesn't see the underneath linebacker. He throws the ball right to the cornerback. Jimmy Garoppolo is going to have to avoid those. And the Niners are going to hope he can't turn the ball over. If he does not turn the ball over, this offense can go very far. But we've seen situations where Jimmy Garoppolo makes a few questionable throws, an interception here, a ball batted down at the line here. We'll see what Garoppolo looks like. So really the two keys for the Niners offense is that offensive line, and that's just going to kind of be what it is for the next few weeks with this offense. And if Jimmy Garoppolo turns the ball over or not, if he has no turnovers, the Niners – probably will win this game. I think they're better than Denver as of right this second. But if Garoppolo's turning the ball over, that's where the issues come in for this offense.
All right, fair enough. And you heard it from him. He is Andrew Pasquini, the co-host of the Sprint Right Option podcast, which is dedicated to all things related to the San Francisco 49ers. Andrew, again, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. So tell everybody what you and your co-host, Jason Aponte, have been doing over at the Sprint Right Option podcast, and what's it all about?
Oh, yeah. So we have a podcast. We've been going on for about 2 years. We like to keep things light, have things fun. We break down the 49ers every week. We do reviews of the games on Monday. We preview the upcoming weekend game on Friday, so you can catch us this Friday, 5:30 p.m. on Jason Aponte's YouTube channel. You can also find the Sprint Right Option podcast anywhere you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Google, whatever it may be, the Sprint Right Option podcast. And Ed, I'm excited to announce as well that I've actually added writing to what I do. I am writing for NinersNation.com, SB Nation's 49ers blog. So you can find my weekly articles there as well.
All right. Well, congratulations on the gig with Niners Nation. So one more time, Andrew, tell everybody where they can find you on social media, as well as your co-host Jason Aponte. Also, where can they find the Sprint Right Option podcast and also Niners Nation as well?
Yeah, so you can find me on Twitter at Pasquini Andrew. Pasquini is P-A-S-Q-U-I-N-I, and then Andrew, the traditional spelling. You can follow my co-host Jason Aponte as well at Jason Aponte, A-P-O-N-T-E, 2103. The Sprint Right Option podcast comes out twice a week on YouTube on Jason Aponte's YouTube channel. You can just type in Jason Aponte on YouTube. He will pop up. Or if you don't want to watch the live show or can't watch the live video show, you can find us anywhere you get your podcast, Sprint Right Option podcast. And then, as I said, NinersNation.com. You get a lot of great content. Jason Aponte is writing for there as well. We have a lot of great writers on staff. You can find my articles at NinersNation.com.
All right. You heard it from him. He is Andrew Pasquini, the co-host of the Sprint Right Option podcast, alongside his colleague Jason Aponte. They give you all the things you need to know regarding the San Francisco 49ers. Also, check out his blogs. He's a writing at Niners Nation, which is powered by SB Nation. Andrew, thank you so much again, my man. And if ever you want to come back on, feel free to let us know.
All right, anytime you want me on, just let me know. Thanks, Ed.
You got it. No problem, my man. We'll be back with more right after this.
They're going to go with Trey Lance on this play as he kept it and absorbed quite the hit. Cody Barton and Brian Monet both teamed up to put it on Trey Lance. And Lance is down right now. That was quite the hit. But on that power run, Lance is down, and Jimmy Garoppolo may see early action today in the first quarter. Trey Lance is going to have to exit on the cart. And he's got the air cast on that right leg. He's being carted off the field. Off the play fake. Garoppolo, he's got a tight end. It is Ross Dwelly. And Ross Dwelly lunging in for the touchdown. Quarterback sneak. Jimmy Garoppolo puts it away for San Francisco. Off the bench, in for Lance.
Street King's got you covered with their huge tire sale blowout with 6 months same as cash on all tires. Brands you love like Nexen, Lexani, Predator, all in stock and ready. Get a set of four installed today for as little as $20 down and $20 per week. And you never need credit. Mention this ad and get 6 months same as cash. Rule the road for less at Street King. Located in Baton Rouge at 7221 Airline Highway, just north of Greenwell Springs Road. Google Street King or visit GoStreetKing.com.
Put industry leading, difference making, and tomorrow shaping on your to-do list. Explore Deloitte Technology Careers at Deloitte.com/tech careers and engineer your future at Deloitte.
Street King's got you covered with their huge tire sale blowout with 6 months same as cash on all tires. Brands you love like Nexen, Lexani, Predator, all in stock and ready. Get a set of four installed today for as little as $20 down and $20 per week. And you never need credit. Mention this ad and get 6 months same as cash. Rule the road for less at Street King. Located in Baton Rouge at 7221 Airline Highway, just north of Greenwell Springs Road. Google Street King or visit GoStreetKing.com.
It's another hurricane season, and right about now, residents are busy fortifying their nests against damage. This year, they're preparing with flood insurance. They've learned it's the extra layer of protection that prevents them from paying out of pocket or pouch for costly repairs. You too should trust your instincts this season. Get flood insurance and protect the life you've built. Visit floodsmart.gov. It's hurricane season. Flood insurance can help you avoid paying out of pocket for costly damage. It's time to trust your instincts. Get flood insurance and protect the life you've built. Visit floodsmart.gov. It's another hurricane season. And right about now, residents are busy fortifying their nests against damage. This year, they're preparing with flood insurance. They've learned it's the extra layer of protection that prevents them from paying out of pocket or pouch for costly repairs. You too should trust your instincts this season. Get flood insurance and protect the life you've built. Visit floodsmart.gov.
Got hurt in the first quarter, and Jimmy Garoppolo.
Street King's got you covered with their huge tire sale blowout with 6 months same as cash on all tires. Brands you love like Nexen, Lexani, Predator, all in stock and ready. Get a set of four installed today for as little as $20 down and $20 per week.
and you never need credit. Mention this ad and get 6 months same as cash. Rule the road for less at Street King. Located in Baton Rouge at 7221 Airline Highway, just north of Greenwell Springs Road. Google Street King or visit GoStreetKing.com.
Street King.
Street King's got you covered with their huge tire sale blowout with 6 months same as cash on all tires. Brands you love like Nexen, Lexani, Predator, all in stock and ready. Get a set of four installed today for as little as $20 down and $20 per week. And you never need credit. Mention this ad and get 6 months same as cash. Rule the road for less at Street King. Located in Baton Rouge at 7221 Airline Highway, just north of Greenwell Springs Road. Google Street King or visit GoStreetKing.com.
It's another hurricane season, and right about now, residents are busy fortifying their nests against damage. This year, they're preparing with flood insurance. They've learned it's the extra layer of protection that prevents them from paying out of pocket or pouch for costly repairs. You too should trust your instincts this season. Get flood insurance and protect the life you've built. Visit floodsmart.gov. It's hurricane season. Flood insurance can help you avoid paying out of pocket for costly damage. It's time to trust your instincts. Get flood insurance and protect the life you've built. Visit floodsmart.gov.
Everybody, that's going to do it for another exciting edition of The Robinson Show. Once again, a big special thank you to Andrew Pasquini, the co-host of the Sprint Right Option podcast. He's also a writer for the website Niners Nation. The website is ran by SB Nation as it provides San Francisco 49ers news. Once again, a big special thank you to Andrew. And until next time, everybody, remember, put God first in everything you do, and you can't go wrong. Until next time, stick to the script. I'm out. Peace.
It's another hurricane season, and right about now, residents are busy fortifying their nests against damage. This year, they're preparing with flood insurance. They've learned it's the extra layer of protection that prevents them from paying out of pocket or pouch for costly repairs. You too should trust your instincts this season. Get flood insurance and protect the life you've built. Visit floodsmart.gov. It's another hurricane season, and right about now, residents are busy fortifying their nests against damage. This year, they're preparing with flood insurance. They've learned it's the extra layer of protection that prevents them from paying out of pocket or pouch for costly repairs. You too should trust your instincts this season. Get flood insurance and protect the life you've built. Visit floodsmart.gov. It's hurricane season. Flood insurance can help you avoid paying out of pocket for costly damage. It's time to trust your instincts. Get flood insurance and protect the life you've built. Visit floodsmart.gov. It's another hurricane season. And right about now, residents are busy fortifying their nests against damage. This year, they're preparing with flood insurance. They've learned it's the extra layer of protection that prevents them from paying out of pocket or pouch for costly repairs. You too should trust your instincts this season. Get flood insurance and protect the life you've built. Visit floodsmart.gov.
Adyen, the payments platform made for today, tomorrow, and whatever comes next. With Adyen's single solution, it's simple to accept all kinds of payments, in-app, online, in-store, touch-free, and beyond. And it seamlessly adapts with your business. So keep your customers happy and your business growing with Adyen. Visit Adyen, ADYEN.com to learn more.
A Cadillac is more than a statement. It's a celebration of self-expression. So, stand out in unmistakable SUVs like the iconic Escalade. Or, set yourself apart in dynamic sedans like the refined CT5. Choose to be bold and choose yourself. Visit your showroom today. Cadillac. Be iconic. Visit your local Cadillac dealer today.
It's another hurricane season, and right about now, residents are busy fortifying their nests against damage. This year, they're preparing with flood insurance. They've learned it's the extra layer of protection that prevents them from paying out of pocket or pouch for costly repairs. You too should trust your instincts this season. Get flood insurance and protect the life you've built. Visit floodsmart.gov. It's another hurricane season, and right about now, residents are busy fortifying their nests against damage. This year, they're preparing with flood insurance. They've learned it's the extra layer of protection that prevents them from paying out of pocket or pouch for costly repairs. You too should trust your instincts this season. Get flood insurance and protect the life you've built. Visit floodsmart.gov.